my reading further help to the subject of this morning from the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. Corinthians, first epistle, chapter 10, 13, verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Corinthians, first epistle, chapter 10, verse 13. Our first rule this morning, repeating again, and that is, in the context of the 12th chapter, leading up to our verse, our text, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That is well spoken. The Apostle Paul knew very well his own weaknesses. He knew that in himself, he said, that is, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. He never looked at his neighbor, he looked at himself. And he knew very well that had it not been that he was what he was by the grace of God, the same as we are, he was apt to fall and slip a thousand times a day. Don't think if you fall, fellow, if you stand fast tonight, that you may stand fast tomorrow night. You don't. It's a sad thing to slip, but it's a mercy to have grace to keep that one from falling right away. But let me warn you, the hour of temptation, it is a fiery trial. Such a trial of none stand against the powers of thee that influence the child of God in this way of temptation, and that is not God, it is Satan. He uses the power of sin and iniquity, and he endures the affections of the heart and of the mind. A sad thing. When Satan makes his mark like this, he sees grace in the heart of a sinner. And that mark is just what he comes for again and again. His determination is, if possible, that he will bring down that child of God to the earth and they be no more in their profession. But he won't, friend. However, many of you may be found in this condition this evening of temptation, oh, I have thought much since this morning's service, it bubbled back again and again. You know, it was tempted in all points, like as we are, Christ himself, yet without sin. And so the friend outside after service, he mentioned it, and it horrified me, only
I say, lead me in
innocent, then they become poor Job. And you know this. He knows the way that you take. He knows when he has tried you. He does try you. You try every one of his dear people. Again, such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. This means you'll only be have so much as you can endure. You may say, well, I can't endure it, Lord. But he knows what he can give you to temper this temptation, and to temper it he gives more grace. And he has promised that he will. He says he gives more grace, and he will give grace and glory to the present. Therefore, you may say, but why can't the child of God be brought along quietly on earth and then just safely landed in heaven? Why all this path? Why all this temptation? Why such tribulation? Do we not reckon up that heaven will be, it'll be worth it to get it to heaven, to find that on earth we have our great trial, we walk in a path of tribulation and trial, and the Lord finally to deliver us from it? You think the great deliverance, the great deliverance. But there, because the very thought of what's waiting for you, the other side of this sinful, miserable world you have considered. No, if we make this our, if we make this our rest, and if this is our home, then you know there won't be anything to disturb us here. In the home for love, I find this. You begin to get out of one trouble, the Lord begins to put you in another before love. And you know very well, as well as I know, if that wasn't so, you know, he wouldn't hear from his friends many times in a week. We don't pray when we have no temptation, no trouble, no sorrow. Yes, we have a quarrel of words, but every miserable hour, they're not seeking after Jesus in our petitions then, like we are when we're in this path. We want a way of escape. You ever been shut up so much you say, well, I can't see my way out. I can't see a way clear. I can't believe the Lord will even intervene in this matter. He will, and he will. But first of all, he will by means like these, thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by due degrees to make thy spirit meek. You don't feel or think for a moment to you there's something in our natural spirit which is pleasing to God, because there isn't friend. We need to be tempted in all points, so that the Lord tries us. Whom the Lord tries, whom he chastens, he loves, remember. And if we are without chastening, without these things, without trials, without temptations, we are none of this, we don't belong to them. I know that people say, well, the devil never interferes with me. He doesn't bring these things into my mind. I never pester with them. There's something in my heart almost wishing I was like them for some things. But I know it is altogether different with me. See, I seem to know it. I seem to have such a quiet life, quiet experience, and you wonder if the whole thing is a shambles with them. Now it's better, friend, for God to take hold of us, to show his permissive will, and to permit the enemy of our souls to come upon us. Look at this. We mentioned this morning that from this word of God he permits it, but he won't permit you to be destroyed. You have this in the word of God. Think what the Lord said to the devil, Satan, concerning Job. He touch everything else but not his soul. You make you miserable fellow sinner, but he can't destroy or touch your soul, because on it is written this: by the blood of the Lamb you are redeemed, by his precious blood redeemed. Mercy of the Lord sees the needs thee that you and I should come in his path. It's old fashioned. And not our young people think that they should learn anything, but it's something of a new fashion. And these things, you won't want them, my dear young friends. It's old things, old paths, old fashioned truths. The old fashioned way that Jesus Christ lived himself, and he walked in and experienced it. Don't forget, in all points he was tempted like as we are. He never sinned, but we do. Now that is a curse and source of all the trouble. Sin. We've been walking in the chapel as if we've never seen it. No. It's never the same about that other people who think we've never sinned and they have, because we're equally as bad as they are. If we're guilty in one, we are, says Jesus, guilty in all. Don't think you're better than another. You're not. You're not. Sometimes a sliver of word, sometimes a deluge of thought rushes into your very mind, and you have to say, I'm 1,000 times worse than the outside of the ungodly. You say, well, I don't have it, don't you? Let him that think he standeth beware lest he fall. I've seen them slip up from him. I've seen them where they criticize and scandalize others themselves, and before long they have been the ones, they've been bought, and the Lord has committed. Sad thing. So be careful. If you and I are anything at all, it is only by that one thing we try to speak on this afternoon, and that is love, love, love. Everything. Love divine. Look your way. And love divine will see you through these calamities that you feel they are, when you feel like the 22nd Psalm. Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou? Lord, I can't see any of my evidences. I got no credentials for heaven should I die tonight. I got nothing to mark me down as a child of God. In fact, Lord, I feel often, says this poor thing, a child of the devil instead of anything else. Now, does some of you know that part? Don't you find this in your heart? Here is an evidence that you are born of God. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Say that, dear Lord, say it. You're asked to stand up and pray at a prayer meeting and to say, I can't say anything else. I want the Lord to say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Fetch me out of the fire, Lord. Take me out of the ocean that is ready to swallow me up, this terrible temptation. Will he make the way and stay? That's the inquiry. The child of God, remember this, he and she is the one that is inquiring. Will he make the way and stay? The devil says, no. The devil says, there's thousands of sons like you in the hell. Oh, there's no mercy with the devil, no mercy. And there's no mercy when the venues and the gifts put in your heart of these dreadful doubts and fears and unbelief that rises up against our holy God, and you say, well, I don't know if it's a God or not. I'm tempted to believe that he's non-existent. It's temptation. And the devil is making you his mark for it. He's making you his mark in the terror. He wouldn't write down, and we said this morning, we wouldn't write down, would we, some of the things that the devil brings out into our heart. It's frightening beyond words it is. I have sometimes asked this, can I deem myself a child of God? You know, you want to be that more than you can ever express, but you see as you view your own bad heart and see that evil thing, that sight that makes you with horror start and drives you almost to despair. Am I a child of God, or do I belong to the legion of devils that come from hell? So you don't believe this is the heart. Well, you might. You may go comfortably along, and when you come to the end, have nothing to disturb you in your nest of religion, and then you will wake up at last and find you have mistaken the way. It's true. Jesus never mistook the way, and he knew the sorrows of his heart. They swelled, and there was none that understood the height and the depth of it. Consider again him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him, consider his call, consider his temptation, consider how he was kept by that same power of God which God will keep you. May I read your character in our reading this evening. You may have come to that verse where in the day of temptation they fall away. You say, shall I fall away? Many do you. Many people fall away in the main profession of religion. Alas, what numbers do. I think I hear my Savior son. Will there save me too? Give him up, friend. Will you give him up? Give up your Jesus. Give up your Lord. Give up that hope that you have been building upon him and his blood and righteousness. Give up those precious times of fellowship and communion with him, and the devil said, come on, come on, sinner, give it up, give it up, give it up. Give up going to the chapel. Don't go to the meeting. Keep away from prayer. Don't read the word of God at night. Don't pray with your dear ones. And so it goes on. Is it imagination? No. It is a stark reality that the people of God often pass through. Why art thou so far from helping me, O Lord? Why is it? You see, the psalmist felt that his enemy said, aha, so could we have it, and you are just the same friend, and so am I. That's just what we want. And they wanted it a long time. They won't get it all broke, but make no mistake about it. Your God will arise. And I love this. The blessed Lord has given this promise, he said, for the oppression of the poor, in the sign of the needy. Now when I arise, saith the Lord, he'll do it, and I will set him in safety from him who uttered him. Who does the talking? The devil. And you felt his terrible glory, breath of time you hear, I shall fall. Says, hold on to Jesus. same force wind, but oh, I felt sometimes my grip of Christ giving that energy. All my strength must come from Him. The psalmist puts it, all my springs are in Him. Can't do anything yourself. You can't release yourself, you see, from this serpent, the devil. What he is, you know how subtle a serpent is, don't you? And they will even wriggle his way into some spot that he wants to get in. That's just what the devil does, the serpent. The venom that he uses in the souls of the dear people of God, and all the time he is trying to bring them to this place to abuse the one they love and to speak against him. You know, he's listening now, I know that he's listening now, the devil, I know this. And I had to suffer for preaching more than once twice in my time, but I know this, the Lord can arise. He can arise and he can give peace when everything else seems as if it has gone wild. You know what it is, the tempest. Don't you cry out. How many know this part which is so peculiar to the Lord's people, and yet our word here says such as is common to man. God doesn't use a landish means, he uses the means to each of his people and they pursue their faces. It's not a landish. He knows just how to deal with us. The way he dealt with me probably wouldn't be the means he deals with you, and whatever way and means he uses for each of us, it wouldn't suit us each to have the same. It's teaching us the same lesson, but he uses different lessons and he brings us to the same condition of needing Christ as a mighty Savior and to detest sin and to fear the devil. Fear him, says the Word of God, who is able to destroy the soul. If we were left in his hands, but the God then God doesn't leave his people, the souls of his people, in the hands of Satan. He won. And he won yours. Now how low have you gone? How low? How destitute? How many times this last week have you had to cry in desperation, O Lord, leave not my soul destitute. I don't want to go on like this destitution. Good place, friend. Yes, there's a few embers of prayer left. A few divine sparks of love still found in that heart of yours. And that love is ascending to the over child who will come and supply all your needs. When dear Paul wrote the Philippians in the third chapter, he said that, but my God, shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. Everyone, you come to me. He delivered Paul, remember them, when they were shipwrecked, and they come on to pieces. We read this, and I thought of it the other night when we read it at home, and they all reached safely to land, friends. We should reach safely to land if the Lord has been the beginner and author of our religion. However far down you've been doing business in deep waters with God and He with you, you won't sink into an everlasting watery grave, you know, spiritually. You're like the psalmist. You will rise again. You rise again. The other day I couldn't get rid of it. 2 or 3 days, couldn't get rid of this word. Who then shall we say? And it kept on and on. Who then shall we say? It seems such a few Lord today. Shall I get through? Shall I reach that celestial city? Shall I be brought through safely amid all these temptations? Look, I have poor child of God left altogether to turn right against Jesus, to walk the opposite way, go back into the world and say, I'm finished forever. Is it possible for only a few sometimes? Make no mistake, maybe for a period. There was a godly man, a great poet, Tim Writer. He went back 12 years. You may have said, well, that was a wrong religion. Be careful. Let him that thinks he's standing beware lest he fall. If I see one going back like this, I want my gracious God to put all the prayer in my heart that I can pray every moment that that dear soul should be preserved and brought back to his Lord. Still, only one. Not to condemn them and say, well, they've gone, they've gone. You see, it's just the same with us. And if God, we believe this, he is faithful. And he won't suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, only for a season. Dear man, when 12 years his God met him again, he brought him back and restored. Now you know what this is, don't you, to be with the psalmist. Restore unto me, my soul, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me for thy free spirit. Have you seen a building, friend, with supports round it? When it's been weak and tottering? That is you in your faith. You are weak, you are suffering, and you need the arms of Christ in this hour of temptation to support you, and he has promised that this he'll do for his dear people. He is faithful. Well, with the temptation also make a way to escape. Oh, the escaping. When we're in temptation, fire, you know, we feel we're in prison. We're in prison. We can't let just as if the devil's got a loop around your neck, friends, and holding you fast, and has got the affections of your heart. And that is a sad thing, but it is a true one. Know what it is to be in prison in temptation, and you feel you have a flesh that says, that's just what my faith wants. That I don't say for a minute, oh, I wouldn't have heard people say, I wouldn't. Well, I'm going to give you a word of warning here tonight, as well as myself. We were only rehearsing this together 3 days ago. Some years ago, there was a certain man, and his brother, and something went wrong in their home, in their family, with one of their children. It's not what I spoke of this morning, something altogether different. But there was another man who came along the road, and after chapel, he was full of the one, you know, that had gone wrong. And his condemnation was terrible. And someone said we should remember that if we've got children of our own, we never know what will happen. You know, in 6 months of Saturday, all of that man has stood and condemned about another, out of his family, came rolling to his own. Let him that thing he standeth beware lest he fall. There is someone here tonight who needs that warning. It's true. If you're brought, friend, to flee to Christ, it will show that you know your weakness. For we believe this cause in ourselves, as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand when temptations, thorns, snares press us hard on every hand? But there's a blessing here. The next line he said, but they know the throne of grace. Here is where they breathe their sorrows in these hours of anxiety and temptation, lest after all they may prove to be a apostate because their God has forsaken them. Now, Paul, he said, I may preach to others, and yet after all prove to be a apostate. I myself prove to be a apostate. Now, what are you leaning on, resting on, standing on, building on, hoping on? Is it you, yourself, your good works, your own good thoughts, your own prayers? It is your own behavior, or something to do with you that you can create of your own feelings? Oh, may the Lord tonight clean in anything and everything from any heart. May we be brought here. It is only in Him, by Him and through Him. No goodness of our own. Temptations, they will come, but temptations are necessary. These are the things that lead us as we are brought into them, and we prove the trial of our faith to be essential. That God has said by Peter's pen that the trial of your faith be much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. It's true, friends, it's true. I have to prove it. I speak to you tonight by experience, sorrow for some of it, experience. But I believe our God, He is able to deliver. He can. You make a way of escape for you. You know what He invites you to do, friend? He calls you yet to run as a hart. You won't run to the devil, you will run away from him. You won't run into temptation, you will run away from him. But the grace of your I never thought the Lord would do this. I never thought He would appear. I never thought there could be a way of escape made by this. Did not Jesus Himself make a way of escape for poor, doomed, rebel sinners, doomed to all eternity, to spend eternity in hell forever and ever? My friend, He made a way of escape. We pointed this morning to Calvary, this afternoon to Calvary, and that is the way of escape. Are you shut up? Are you convicted of sin? Are you in darkness, having no light, letting trust in the Lord is God? These things are true, they're real. You will go down, but you won't go down to sink. You will rise. Your God will take hold of your right hand, and He will tell you to fear not, for He is with you. And there will be many that will rejoice with you. They will rejoice. Your soul will rejoice. You will sing of your Savior's love, so great, so rich, so free. And you will have to sing it in terms like this. A redeeming love made known to you. The Savior's appearance. The Savior's deliverance. The Savior who made a way for you to escape. Bring the people left behind. You say, never thought I'd come through. The blessedness of being delivered, let me tell you. You will feel this. I never felt that I could get out of it. I never believed the Lord would make a way of escape. And when He does, you will say, I never felt that other than I was in it so deep, which we were. Were not his love so rich, so free, then who would take it, Lord, from me? Friend, hold on to Jesus. If you can't hold on to him, try and look to him. If you can't look to him, then cry to him, and he will send help from him. Amen.